Uh-oh. In is out, and out is in. If we were Homer Simpson, we'd probably say, don't. If we were Dow Richardson, we'd say, arg. Most of us would probably just say, oh no. What? In is out, out is in. And I would say to you, there's no better news in the world. In is out, and out is in, and there's no better news in the world. That's what we've heard in the gospel lesson. Let's take a look and see. That bears out. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told a parable. Those who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. Do we know anyone like that? I confess I know someone from my past. Name's John Richardson. I can remember being full of myself, vim and vigor, those late teens, early 20s, thinking I was on top of the world, everything was before me. I can remember saying to a girl from Selma, Alabama that I was smitten with at the time, that she asked me, she said, what do you like about Alabama? I said, Lake Martin and me. That's someone who's full of himself. Someone who's pretty confident in himself. Now, I wasn't confident in my own righteousness. I will say that. I didn't really care a whole lot about righteousness, so I really didn't have a whole lot of confidence in it. But I was a confident person. And we know what it's like to encounter someone that who looks down upon everybody else and thinks that they're small. And we hear this editorial note, if you will, from Luke. He's saying that that's why this parable was told. It was told about these people who were confident in their own righteousness. So what does Jesus say? Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Important to note that both men went up to the temple to pray. They were both praying men. Both were going before God. Both had a sense of who he was and who they were, at least to some degree. Perhaps one went out of duty and one out of need, but they both were going to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. Well, it makes perfect sense that a Pharisee would be going to pray, right? Because Pharisees prayed. They did all the things that the Old Testament asked of them. They fasted. We're going to find out this one fasted more often than was required of him, but he was a good Pharisee. He gave alms, he tithed, he did those things that were required of him. And the other, and the other was a tax collector. What's significant about him? Well, tax collector's a profession. They're all over the place. One of our own works with the IRS all the time. He's an attorney that represents people who are having their taxes collected or have failed to pay their taxes or things like that. And so he's a tax collector. Is there anything in and of itself about being a tax collector that's bad? Probably not, except in this case, a tax collector represented the enemy, Rome. Because it wasn't the Jews that were collecting the taxes, it was Rome. And they were the enemy occupiers of this nation. And they didn't care much for them. And so if you were a Jew working for Rome, you weren't smiled upon. You didn't have a lot of friends. And yet, this man, who was a tax collector, went before God, just like the Pharisee, to pray. The Pharisee stood up, and we hear his prayer in the parable. He says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get. So he's very proud of himself that he's not like other people, bad people, or even this tax collector, who's ironically there beside him in the temple to pray. He's not like him. He gives twice a week. He fasts twice a week and gives a tenth of all that he gets. And that makes some sense. He's actually particularly dutiful when it comes to fasting, because there was only one day of fasting a year in the Jewish tradition, and that was the Day of Atonement. But he fasted twice a week. And so, great. Good on him. Extra measure of giving to God. And then he also gives a tenth of what he gets. He tithes. And of course, that was the Old Testament law. That's what people were supposed to give. A tenth of everything whether it was received in the form of money or whether it was something that they harvested from the field. They were meant to give a tenth of what it was, and he gave it. He did what was expected of him. And he's glad that he's not like this other man. Other men, including this other man, the tax collector. What did the tax collector do when he stood and prayed? He said, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Wow. So he would not, he stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look to heaven. And he beat his breast and he said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Now, what is that like? Think about it. Well, there's the story of the Garden of Eden. They sin, and suddenly they hide from God. He has to go looking for them, right? Now, Madison, if your grades aren't so good, what do you do when you get home from school? Uh-huh. Impromptu. Object lesson. Thank you very much. Of course. When I was a kid, I'd go to my neighbor's house to play. I just wouldn't come home because the report card was in my bag. I wouldn't bring it up. Now, if I was asked, I'd produce the report card. But rather not if I was in trouble, and usually it wasn't academic. I was telling some of the guys this the other day that when I was young, grades on a report card included grades for academics, grades for effort, and grades for conduct. And I always did really good in academics, pretty good in effort, not always the best in conduct. And so I was going to be in big trouble if my report card wasn't good. And so I would avoid seeing my parents. We do that. And it's other experiences of that. It says that he wouldn't look towards heaven. You know, when we've done something wrong, we kind of, you know, move our eyes away from the person that we're talking to. One of Kristen's favorite movies is The American President, and his girlfriend in the movie calls him out one night because he's lying about something, and she said, you're doing that thing again. And he's going, what? But every time he tells this lie, every time he lies, he does this thing, that he has this nervous tick. And often, if we're ashamed or embarrassed, we avert our eyes to not make contact with someone else. And that's what this tax collector does. And so he beats his breast. He says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. He doesn't think much of himself, whereas the Pharisee thinks a whole lot of himself. And so Jesus goes on to say, I tell you the truth, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who humbles himself will be humbled. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And so we're hearing the end of the story. This is what Jesus is saying. In is out, and out is in. But why? Well, one of the things that's going on is the Pharisee is confused with an illusion. He thinks that there's actually power in religion. And we know from Paul in 2 Timothy 3:5, that many people held to a religion that didn't have any power because they went on living the lives that they had lived before they came to know Christ or before they began this religion. And so this Pharisee, like many Christians, even in the early days of the church, were practicing a religion, but it had no impact on what they did, how they treated their spouses, how they treated their children, how they treated their neighbors, how they regarded God. And so it is an illusion to think that religion has power. If you think about what Jesus said, this Pharisee was doing all the things that were expected of him in the law, and yet they earned him no favor with God. They were the things that were expected of him. God didn't love him more because he did what he was supposed to. Ironically, he didn't love the tax collector any less because he didn't. So there is an illusion that religion has power. And we don't want to be fooled by that because it's death dealing. And so, sure, we want to be in church. Sure, we want to read our Bible. Sure, we want to say our prayers. But we don't want to have some false hope in those things as if they reconcile us to God. Because clearly, we're being told they don't. It's the tax collector who didn't do any of those things that went home justified, not the Pharisee who was very dutiful in the law. And so finally, the other side of it is, when we think that there's power in religion, it leads to a confidence in self. When we think there's power in religion, it leads to a confidence in self. Why? Because we have power over whether we're going to be at one with God. I'll get up and go to church this morning, or this afternoon, as the case may be. And there are millions and millions of people around the world who've gone to church today and checked off a box thinking that put them at one with God. Now, don't hear me say it's not a good thing to be in church. It is. Come, bring others. But it doesn't put us in a better place because we've done it. And so that idea that religion has power all of a sudden puts a confidence in ourselves. Well, I'll just choose when I'm at one with God. I'll get up and go. I'll say my prayers. I'll tithe. I'll fast. I'll do all these things. And all of those things may be good, but they do not put us at one with God. That comes only by an act of God Himself. That's what the Pharisee didn't know, and that's what the tax collector knew, because he beat his breast and he said, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." And it goes back to the age-old gospel story. It's never about us. It's always about God. It begins with Him and it ends with Him. It's His story. He created us. He brought us into being. We rebelled against Him. He said, "I don't stop there. I'm going to keep pursuing you. I'm going to keep loving you. I'm going to keep trying to woo you back to me." He is the pursuer. He's the initiator. It's not us. And it's so easy to put confidence in ourselves and think that we can do it. That's what the Pharisee did. That's what the tax collector didn't. And he knew it. There was no power within him to save himself. He got what Kansas said, didn't he? All we do crumbles to the ground, though we refuse to see it. Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. Ironically, in Kansas, it begins by talking about dreams, but in the end, it's talking about self. It's talking about we as human beings, that we are dust in the wind. All that we do crumbles to the ground, though we refuse to see it. So what's the lesson to be learned? One, we don't want to live with the notion that there's power in religion, because that will lead to a confidence in self, and neither one of those things is a good thing. In fact, they can be death-dealing. They alienate us from God because we don't see our dependence upon God. Everything is crumbling around us, and yet we think all is well. And that's the lesson for us. But I said at the beginning, there's no better news. Well, how could that be good news, John? Because you're telling me that I'm doing all the right things and in this effort to be obedient to God and pleasing God, and I'm not in any better place because of it. And I would say, yes, that's true. But in the end, for anyone who lives with reality, this is the best news that we could ever hear. Why? Because it says it's the sinner who went home justified, not the Pharisee, the sinner. And if we live with reality in the real world, we're all sinners. There's really no other category of being. There's not a Pharisee and sinner. They're all sinners, Pharisee and tax collector alike. And so what God's really saying is the in is out, but the out is in. If we see ourselves for who we really are, having no power to save ourselves, and fall upon the mercy of God, we will go home justified. And that's good news. Because we're all in the same boat. We all suffer from the same problem. We're all more concerned about ourselves than God, all more concerned about ourselves than others. That's why God is calling us back to love God and to love neighbor, because we don't. But He loves us anyway. The pursuer, the initiator, He's coming after us. And so this, hearing this news that in is out and out is in should be music to our ears. There is no better word for us to hear. Because we are out. All of us are out. And by mercy and the grace of God, He makes us in. That's good news. That's why we call it the gospel. Amen.